ever feel like you're caught in a loop? You know, giving advice, sharing insights, explaining things over and over, but you're just not quite seeing that spark, that real ownership or lasting change in the people you lead.
Oh, absolutely. It's a really common frustration, isn't it? And honestly, it can be pretty exhausting.
Totally. So what if there was a different way, a method maybe, to turn those everyday chats, those quick check-ins, or even the more structured talks into real, powerful moments of development?
Well, that's exactly what we're digging into today.
Yeah, today we're diving deep into a framework called shift coaching. It's comprehensive, seems really effective, and you can almost think of it like a guide, maybe even a shortcut to being a more impactful leader, a better communicator.
Exactly. Turning those interactions that might otherwise just, you know, fall flat into genuine growth opportunities.
So what's our mission here? What are we trying to get out of this deep dive?
Okay, so our mission is really to unpack this shift model. We want to explore its core purpose. I mean, why was it created? It's about building trust, reinforcing accountability, and yeah, ultimately improving results, and how it fosters that self-directed growth.
Right.
And we'll also need to clearly separate true coaching from just, say, giving feedback or managing performance. They're not the same thing.
That's a big one.
It is. Yep. And then we'll walk you through the practical steps. It's a 5-step sequence showing you how to actually empower others to own their solutions, not just follow your directions. Building capability, not just compliance. That's the goal.
And we're basing this on some solid material, right?
We are.
Our source is this really insightful internal training guide. It's called Final Shift Coaching Leading Now.pdf. Looks like a robust framework designed to be, well, pretty much immediately applicable.
Yeah, it's very practical.
So we've pulled out what we think are the most potent insights from it. And yeah, we're ready to help you hopefully shift into a higher gear.
Let's do it. So maybe we should start with the fundamental problem shift is trying to solve.
Good idea.
It really comes down to moving beyond that immediate instinct, you know, the one where we just tell people what to do.
The quick fix.
Exactly. The guide itself says shift was specifically designed to build trust, reinforce accountability, and improve results. And it encourages coaching that connects to business goals and supports self-directed growth. So it's not just a one-off fix. It's about cultivating this continuous cycle of improvement and real ownership.
And I think, look, we've all been there, haven't we? Pouring energy into giving directions, laying out the perfect solution, or so we think, only to find yourself having the exact same conversation about the same challenge a few weeks down the line. You're just not seeing that lasting change, that genuine buy-in from your team.
Right. The needle isn't moving.
Exactly. So if that sounds familiar to you listening, this deep dive is, well, it's definitely for you. And what really grabs me are the tangible benefits the source lays out. These aren't just, you know, soft skills outcomes. They're direct impacts on your effectiveness.
Okay. Like what?
Well, first, imagine running these focused coaching chats that actually move the needle on performance. No more conversations that just go in circles.
That all sounds good.
Right. Second, you build real trust and engagement through genuine listening, which deepens rapport and buy-in. That's huge for any team. Third, it helps you drive ownership and accountability because you're empowering others to own solutions, not just follow directions.
Which we know leads to more commitment.
Absolutely, because people just commit more to plans they helped create. Fourth, you create sustainable momentum. How? By tracking progress and keeping improvements on autopilot. And finally, you actually walk away with a ready-to-use plan after the conversation. Clarity. Next steps. Done.
And it's interesting, if you zoom out a bit, how these practical sort of day-to-day benefits ripple outwards. The source connects them to faster growth, stronger teams, and more confident leaders.
Ah, the bigger picture.
Yeah, it explicitly links these coaching conversations to broader organizational values. Like if your company has a value like earn it every day, coaching helps reinforce that mindset in individuals. It shows how their development directly ties into the collective success in those core values. It's not just about fixing a problem. It's about building the culture.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, something you touched on earlier, the confusion around terms. This gets incredibly messy in most places, doesn't it? We toss around coaching, feedback, performance management, like they're all the same.
They really aren't. And using the wrong tool for the job, well, it doesn't work.
Right. Our source is really clear on the differences. And you said understanding these is crucial for applying the right approach. You can't hammer a screw with a wrench, as I think I said before.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good analogy. And yes, let's break down those distinctions straight from the source, because getting this right is so fundamental. Let's start with coaching.
Okay.
Its core purpose: unlock potential, partner on future growth. That's the key phrase. It focuses squarely on development and capabilities. Think long term.
So not just fixing today's issue?
Not primarily, no. It typically involves ongoing learner-driven conversations.
Yeah.
And the approach is very much question-based, reflective, collaborative. You use coaching when you see behavior patterns, mindset barriers, or developmental gaps limiting someone's performance or growth. The issue isn't just what they're doing, but maybe why they're doing it or why they're stuck.
Got it. So development-focused, question-based, looking at the why. What about feedback then?
Feedback is different. Its purpose is much more immediate. Share observations, reinforce, or correct now.
Okay, now is key.
Exactly. Its focus is on specific behaviors and impact, and it needs to be delivered as needed, timely, soon after the event. The approach is more destructive. Here's what I saw.
So more telling.
Yes, in a way, you use feedback when the behavior is clear, recent, and correctable. You're reinforcing something good or redirecting a specific action or outcome right in the moment.
Clear. And a third one, performance management.
Right. Performance management is more formal. It's about evaluating results, rewarding, and holding accountable. The focus is squarely on goal achievement and past performance.
And the timing is different, too.
Definitely. It happens at scheduled checkpoints, you know, quarterly reviews, annual appraisals. The approach involves things like formal ratings, documentation, reviewing goals set previously. It's a structured evaluation process.
Okay, so laying them out like that makes the distinctions really clear. Coaching for development, feedback for immediate course correction, performance management for formal evaluation.
Precisely.
So the real shift here then, the sort of crucial insight, seems to be what the source says. Telling gives answers. Coaching asks powerful questions that unlock insight, helping someone think, not just follow directions.
That is the absolute core of it. It's a profound difference, isn't it? And it really challenges our ingrained habits as leaders sometimes.
It really does.
And the guide tackles this head on with a myth versus reality section. It's super revealing.
Oh, yeah. What are the myths?
Well, the big one, myth coaching means the leader gives the answers. Reality, the leader asks questions that unlock insight in the other person.
Right. Let them find it.
Exactly. Another myth, coaching is a fast fix. Reality. It's about sustainable change, which comes through self-discovery. And that takes a bit more time up front, maybe.
But lasts longer.
Right.
Yeah.
And the last one, myth leader-driven solutions. Reality coachee-owned actions, which naturally leads to stronger commitment. And this distinction matters so much because, as the source points out, often people already know what they should do. The gap lies in unique barriers.
Ah, so it's not usually a knowledge gap.
Rarely. At the levels where coaching is most powerful. Could be mindset, maybe burnout, could be personal issues interfering. Your role as a coach isn't just to plug a knowledge hole. It's to create space for self-realization through powerful questions. Telling might give you that quick fix, that short-term answer, but it actually robs deep, lasting learning. The kind that only happens when someone figures it out themselves. It's like a psychological investment they make.
That makes total sense. Helping them climb their own mountain, maybe giving them some gear, but not pulling them up the rock face.
That's a great image for it.
So how do we actually do this? Let's get into the SHIFT framework itself. You said it's not just a catchy acronym, but a logical sequence.
Yeah, it really scaffolds the conversation. Mm-hmm. Each letter represents a vital step guiding you through the process, but it's flexible enough for your own style to come through.
Okay, so what are the letters?
S, set context. H, hear fully. I invite ownership. F, frame actions. And T, track progress. S-H-I-F-T.
Shift T. Got it. Let's break them down. Step one, S, set context. What does that look like?
Okay, setting context.
Yeah.
This is about clearly explaining why you're meeting and tying that conversation back to clear goals or business outcomes. It's about getting their head in the game immediately, showing respect for their time. And doing this well supports key things like leadership, team development, knowledge sharing, critical thinking.
And why is this step so critical right at the start?
Because without it, you risk the conversation feeling aimless, or even worse, like an ambush,
yeah,
which makes people defensive.
Yeah, nobody likes that feeling.
Right. So when people understand the purpose, when they feel genuinely invited into the discussion, they're just much more open to exploring challenges and, importantly, co-creating solutions. The source actually calls this building psychological safety. It's foundational.
Okay, so how do we practically set that stage effectively? What does the guide suggest?
It suggests four pretty simple actions. First, just explain why you're meeting. Simple example. Hey, thanks for meeting today. I wanted to check in about some feedback I received from the ex-client.
Viper 4.
Second, link it to the bigger picture, the goal. As you know, improving our client retention is a huge focus right now, so their experience is really top of mind. Third, do a quick temperature check, basically. Check their readiness. Are you open to exploring this with me for a bit?
Get their buy-in to the conversation itself.
Exactly. And finally, set expectations for the flow. Great. So first, I'd really love to hear your perspective on what happened. Then maybe we can brainstorm some solutions together and figure out a path forward. How does that sound?
Okay. Context set. Clear purpose, invitation, roadmap. What's next? Age.
Here fully.
Here fully. Sounds simple, right?
No.
Listen. But man, in the rush of the day, how often do we really do this well without jumping in or already planning our response while they're still talking? What are the traps here?
That's such a fantastic point, because hearing fully is way more than just waiting for your turn.
Right.
It's genuine, active listening and curiosity. Really making space for the other person to process things out loud without feeling that pressure from you, that impulse to interrupt or solve or even judge. It's absolutely core to building strong relationships and showing professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest trap, it's exactly what you said, listening to respond, not listening to understand. We start projecting our own fixes onto their situation before we even fully grasp it.
So why is it so important to fight that urge, to resist jumping in with the fix?
Because when people feel genuinely understood, not just kind of superficially heard, they are far more likely to share the real story, the honest truth, and crucially, they're more likely to take ownership of their part in finding a solution. This active listening phase is often where the real root causes, the hidden obstacles, finally come to the surface.
So how do we practice that? What are the actions?
Well, you ask truly open-ended questions. Tell me more about. Or how did you see that situation unfold? You actively reflect and paraphrase what you're hearing. Okay, so if I'm hearing you right, you felt stretched thin by the new priorities. Is that accurate?
Checking to understand.
Constantly. You probe gently for underlying motivations or feelings. What matters most to you as you think about handling this next time, or what was going through your mind then? And really importantly, pay attention to nonverbals and maybe even reference them. I noticed you paused there when I mentioned the deadline. What's coming up for you?
That level of listening feels like it really builds trust. And it sets up the next step nicely, I imagine. The I.
It does. It leads naturally into I invite ownership.
Invite ownership. This feels like where the real coaching magic happens.
Yeah.
But I can see how easy it is for leaders, maybe myself included sometimes, to just jump straight to telling them the solution at this point. Why is inviting their ownership so crucial? Why not just give them the answer if you see it?
You're right. It's a super common impulse. But jumping in really undermines the whole point of coaching. Inviting ownership means co-creating clear next steps, success measures, and timelines. You're explicitly inviting them to reflect, what do they want the outcome to be? What's actually within their control? How might they have contributed?
Getting them to think it through.
Exactly. And it's critical because when people help craft the plan themselves, they develop a much, much deeper sense of commitment and accountability. That ownership fuels motivation and makes follow-through far more likely, simply because they've invested personally in designing the plan. This step actively builds competencies like leadership, team development, a sense of urgency, and better organization.
Okay, so how do we practically invite that ownership without just leaving them hanging?
Well, you essentially kick off a brainstorming session with them. You might ask something like, okay, given all that, what do you think the best next step is here? Or what ideas do you have for making this right for the customer?
Putting the ball in their court.
Yes. Then you guide them through thinking about those ideas. Ask about potential risks. What challenges do you foresee with that approach? Ask about impact. How would that help us reach the goal we talked about? Ask about obstacles. How might you overcome X if it pops up? And then crucially, if they get stuck or miss something important, that's when you can step in collaboratively.
Ah, so you don't just leave them stranded.
No, not at all. You might say something like, those steps you've outlined sound really solid. Based on my experience, I'd also recommend including the TPS report when you talk to them. I think that would give them extra clarity. What do you think about adding that? See, it's an addition, a suggestion, not a directive. You're still co-creating.
That makes the solution feel theirs, even with that guidance. Okay, which brings us to FF frame actions. We've had this rich discussion. They've brainstormed. They've taken ownership. Now what? How do we make sure this doesn't just evaporate?
Exactly. Framing actions is the step where you translate all that brainstorming and co-creation into a clear, shared plan. It's about nailing down the specifics, ensuring clarity, and setting up the follow-through. This supports urgency, organization, reinforces knowledge, and critical thinking.
And the source mentioned restating the plan. Why is that important?
It removes ambiguity. Ensure you're both hearing the same things. And those accountability questions the source mentions, like, when will you reconnect with me on this, they embed the follow-up right there in the conversation.
Smart. And the positive encouragement piece.
Huge. It reminds them you believe in their capability, which really boosts motivation, especially after maybe a tough conversation.
So what are the actions here?
First, restate the agreed-upon next steps clearly.
Okay, so let's just quickly recap to make sure we're on the same page. You're going to reach out to the customer by end of day tomorrow. You'll bring the TPS report data. You'll commit to a hard completion date with them and send brief email check-ins between calls. Is that right?
Blocking it down.
Cool.
Yep. Second, create that accountability loop by asking for commitment on timing. Do you feel equipped and ready to move forward with this plan? When's realistic for you to reconnect with me and give me an update? And third, offer that genuine encouragement. Look, you've developed a really thoughtful solution here. You're great at solving problems like this, and I have confidence you'll make this right for the customer. That belief can make a big difference.
Okay, set context, hear fully, invite ownership, frame actions. What's the last piece?
T.
Track progress.
Track progress. Why is this final step so vital? If we've done the other steps well, won't they just do it?
Yeah, if only it were always that simple. Look, even with the best intentions and the most ownership, things can slip. Life happens. Priorities shift. Tracking progress means deliberately building follow-ups into your regular one-on-ones or maybe just quick check-ins. It's about reviewing those commitments, celebrating the wins along the way that's important too, and helping remove any new obstacles that might have popped up.
So it keeps the momentum going. Exactly. It maintains momentum, it reinforces accountability, and crucially, it sends a really strong signal that you, as the leader, genuinely value their growth journey and their effort, not just that one initial conversation. It reinforces the partnership and makes sure they know how to use resources if they get stuck.
Okay, so how do we track progress effectively without it feeling like micromanaging?
Good question. It's about integrating it naturally. First, maybe document the plan somewhere shared, even if it's just notes. Okay, let's jot these key actions down in our shared journal so we can both see them and track progress together. Second, explicitly create accountability by scheduling the follow-up. Great, please put 15 minutes on our calendars for next Tuesday so you can give me that status update. Or simply, okay, let's make sure checking in on this is the first item on our agenda for our next one-on-one.
Making it part of the routine.
Precisely. And then in those check-ins, you encourage progress, celebrate milestones, and if necessary, gently hold them accountable if things seem stalled. Hey, just checking in on the customer escalation we discussed. I haven't seen an update yet, and I'm wondering how the plan we created is progressing. What's going on there? It's supportive inquiry, not accusation. The guide even suggests setting reminders for yourself so you don't forget to follow up.
That's practical advice, and I think you mentioned the source points to a digital tool, too.
Yeah, for folks who want to really hone these skills, it mentions an AI tool called the Shift Support Coach. Sounds like it's designed to help you prepare for these conversations, maybe even practice them, like a virtual sparring partner to get you comfortable with the flow and the questions.
Cool. Okay, so let's bring this all together. What's the big takeaway for everyone listening?
Well, we've walked through the whole Shift framework, set context, hear fully, invite ownership, frame actions, and track progress.
Right.
It's a structured approach, yes, but it's also flexible. It really empowers you to move beyond just telling people what to do.
Which often doesn't work long term.
Exactly. It helps you truly coach them, guiding them to uncover their own solutions, building that deep commitment, and driving their own sustainable growth. At its heart, it's about building people up.
Yeah, and for you listening, this deep dive hopefully gives you a clear, actionable roadmap. A way to have more impact, maybe in less time, actually.
Could be. And fostering deeper trust, cultivating that genuine ownership in your teams, ultimately leading to those sustainable improvements, and frankly, more confident, capable leaders all around. Remember that purpose. Unlock potential. Partner on future growth.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. Think about your very next important conversation. Maybe it's later today, maybe tomorrow. How might consciously applying just one element of Shift change things?
Yeah, just one.
Maybe just pausing, really pausing, to hear fully before you jump in, or perhaps using one open-ended question to invite ownership instead of giving the answer. How might that fundamentally change the outcome of that single conversation? What hidden insights, what potential might you unlock in that person and in yourself when you make that small shift from telling to truly asking? Go forth and shift your world.